The story from today, in the event that you do not believe it's actually in the Bible, can be read in Numbers 22:23. The people of Israel had crossed the River Jordan. They were entering Promised Land. And as they went from place to place to take the land, other kings were watching, and they had come into the land where the Amorites were living and taken that land. And Balak, who was the king of the Moabites, saw this, and he was nervous, rightfully so. And so he thought, what can I do? I know. I can get in touch with Balaam. Balaam is a diviner, and whom he blesses is blessed, and whom he curses is cursed. Now, you may not know what a diviner is. There were diviners in the scriptures, and I believe there are still diviners today. Matter of fact, I think we can all be diviners. Diviners are people who are in touch with the Word of God. They can hear God, and they can connect with God. In times of old, they were often oracles or people who proclaimed deep mysteries. I believe in the scripture times have not changed, and that when we are in prayerful connection with God, we listen, God speaks to us. But Balaam was a diviner who did this for a living. People would pay him, and he would make proclamations. So Balak went to him and had the fee that was given to a diviner. People came to Balaam and said, Balaam, Balak would like you to come and curse the Israelites. Here's the money, come and curse them. But Balaam, because he was connected to God, said, I can only do what God asks me to do. I can only bless those whom God blesses. So I will pray on it. And he prayed on it, and during the evening and during the night, he heard the voice of God. The voice of God clearly said to him, you cannot curse the Israelites. They are my chosen people. And so Balaam went to the people from Balak and the Moabites the next day and said, sorry, no go. Can't help you out. I can only do what God asks me to do. So the little group went back to Balak, the king of the Moabites, and they said, he won't come. He won't do it. Now, Balak was a king, and he wasn't used to people saying no to him. So he said, go back and tell him he can have anything he wants, because Balak knew that unless he was blessed and Israel was cursed, he'd lose everything. So why not offer up whatever Balaam wants? And he said, beyond that, he's going to be honored. Because being honored, being lifted up, and being put high in the eyes of others, well, that was significant. So they went back, this little emissary, and they went to Balaam, and they said, Balaam, Balak is not going to take no for an answer. So anything you want, anything you can have, if you will just go and curse the Israelites. Well, Balaam prayed about this again during the night. And God basically said, if they force you to go, you can go. But you can still only say what I tell you to do. Well, Balaam seemed to have missed the first part of what God said, if they force you to go. And he heard, you can go. So the next morning, he saddles up his trusty donkey, and he heads out to go see Balak with the promise of all wealth and honor. He's on his donkey, or trotting along down the road, and suddenly an angel of the Lord is standing in the path. Now, many of you, when you hear the story of an angel of the Lord, might be thinking of something little sweet with little wings, you know, flying around looking, you know, sweet and comforting. That is not an angel of the Lord. That whole idea of the sweet little angels, no. They are warriors, especially the heavenly host. A warrior angel would be more akin to, oh, I don't know, I spent time in Africa, and there were warriors that would have, like, AK-47s strapped across both sides, and, you know, with a powerful sense of don't mess with me in a military state. Well, that's what an angel of the Lord would be like. It would be like this powerful, forceful, winged creature standing in the middle of the path with a sword that was aflame. Scary. And they're trotting along, and there's this angel of the Lord in the path. And the donkey sees it. But Balaam does not. So the donkey sees this and coming along and thinking, I'm not going past that guy. He's got a flaming sword. So the donkey immediately runs down into a field, and Balaam is mad. He hits the donkey. Bad donkey. Why'd the donkey run off the path? And he gets the donkey back up the path, but the donkey, being a smart donkey, kind of goes around the angel. So they continue on their merry way until they come to a vineyard path. Vineyard path where there's a one side and another side where there are walls. And in the vineyard path, there is an angel of the Lord with a sword, a fire. Donkey sees it. Balaam does not. Well, the donkey sees that there's a little bit of room on this side of the angel. So the donkey kind of tries to squeeze by the angel on the opposite side from the sword, because fiery swords. So he's, and as he does, he crushes Balaam's foot. And Balaam is furious. His foot got crushed by the donkey trying to sneak by the angel he doesn't see. And he hits the donkey again. Donkey gets back on the path. Going along, merry way. Suddenly, there is an angel of the Lord with a fiery sword standing in the middle of the path, and there is no way around it. Can't go around it, can't go over it, can't go under it. So he does the only thing he can, the donkey, who sees the angel of the Lord. He sits down and refuses to move because there's an angel of the Lord with a fiery sword, and he's thinking, I'm not going to go past that one. He sits down, refuses to move, and Balaam hits him again and starts yelling at him. And the donkey turns around and says, why are you keeping on hitting me? What have I done to you? And Balaam says to the donkey, you keep running off the path. You keep going all over the place. And the donkey says, can you not see that there is an angel of the Lord standing with a sword of fire right in front of you, and if I went there, you'd be killed? I've been a good donkey. I've never done anything like this. You should possibly get that this is not normal. There is an angel in front of us. Well, suddenly, Balaam sees the angel. And the angel says, that donkey saved your life. God told you to only go if you were forced to go. God says you can go now, but you can only bless those whom the Lord blesses, and you can only curse those whom the Lord curses. You cannot take God's blessing and make it your own. So Balaam continues on his way. And finally, he gets to Balak. And Balak is excited. Balaam's here. I can keep my kingdom. So he takes Balaam up to a high mountain. And at this high mountain, he builds 7 altars. And he sacrifices all the animals that the gods of Baal require. And he brings Balaam up there and he says, "Curse the Israelites!" And Balaam gets up there and says, "God bless the Israelites!" Balak is a little upset, but he's thinking maybe it's just this section. So he takes him up to Mount Pisgah. And he builds 7 altars, sacrifices all the right animals, gets everything ready to do the sacrifice. And he says, "Balaam, go do your stuff." And Balaam gets up there, standing over the land, and says, "God bless the Israelites." Balak's not very happy, but he gives it a third try. 7 altars, sacrifices, a whole bit. Balaam gets up there. "God bless the Israelites." Balak gets mad. "What do you mean? I've given you everything. I'm going to give you anything you want." Balaam's like, "I can only do what God wants. I cannot force this to be other than what God desires." And so one final time, he gets up on a mountain so the whole area is covered. And again, he blesses the Israelites. And then he goes home. I love this story. Not only because it's great to tell. When my kids were little and I used to ask them what Bible story I should tell, it was like, "Balaam! Tell us Balaam again!" It shows us the incredible nature of God. But there are a couple of things in this story that I think are really important for us to hear. The first is about hearing God's voice and following God's direction. Because I do believe God speaks to us. I do believe that we can discern and hear. If we don't hear the voice of God, it's because we aren't listening. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to get a letter in the mail telling you this is what you should do. Nor does it mean that God has a plan for your life that you are to follow exactly like some kind of pieces on a chessboard. But I do believe that the words of Proverbs are correct. That God will guide our ways when we trust in him and do not lean on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him and he will make our path straight. God will speak to us and give us direction with prayer and discernment. And the more corrected we are with God, the more we find that peace as we make decisions, as we make choices, and the better able we are to pay attention to the signs of God. I'm going to share with you 2 personal stories. Sometimes as a pastor you wonder, do I share stories of others? But in this story, in this situation, I think it's important to share these personal stories of times when I sought God's direction and where God really showed me in a way very similar to Balaam to not always follow my own inclination. One was when I was in a difficult marriage and I struggled. I don't like failure. I just don't. I don't like public failure. And if I make a public promise, I want to keep it. So I was going to make my marriage work even if it killed me, which it almost did. I was determined. I was committed. I was going to follow through. But it was destroying me. I was married to an alcoholic, and I was not focused on my children the way I needed to be. I was dying in addition to the marriage. But I can be hard-headed. I can be stubborn. And when I want to do something, I can be very determined to do it. So I would pray and look for signs, but not necessarily see them. Then one week where I thought, I don't know how I can do this anymore. I don't know how I can keep these pieces together. My two best friends, in a matter of hours, independent of each other, both of whom loved me, loved my husband, and cared about us deeply, and both of whom hate divorce completely, independent of each other, said to me, "Paula, game over. You've got to choose life. This is not working for you. It's not working for your kids, and ultimately it's not going to work for Steve. You have to get out of it." And that was a Balaam moment for me. I knew that if I kept going forward, I wouldn't be able to survive. And I needed that. I needed to get hit over the head that way. And I listened to the voice of God, and I made a choice that I didn't like because it was a public failure. But I made a choice that allowed me to choose life. And a few years ago, when I was looking for a call, I'd look at these calls and I'd think, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And then things wouldn't work out for a variety of reasons. I didn't get the different calls that I thought were perfect for me, absolutely where I was supposed to be. I kept praying, saying, okay, God will lead me on the path to where I'm supposed to go. I kept trusting in the midst of the process that I couldn't force it myself. And then when I, about a year ago, got the papers for Emmanuel, I got chills. I'm like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I still get goosebumps when I remember reading the MSP. I sent it to my sons, and they're like, this is what God has been waiting for you. I knew it. I knew in my heart this was where I was called to be pastor. It's funny, when I went through the call process and I was interviewing with the committee, I'm always completely myself, but it's like this is where I'm supposed to be. This is a calling from God. You hear the voice of God and you know something. You know in your heart it's right. In our lives, God will speak to us. God will direct us and guide us. Sometimes when something isn't working out the way it is supposed to work out, we tend to just want to push the doors open and make it our way. And that doesn't mean being passive or quit when something doesn't work out. That is not what I am saying. But sometimes as we pray for things, the answer is no. And we have to hear that. And we have to trust that God will guide us and speak to us in our own personal lives. Praying, fasting, centering yourself in Scripture, turning to the God of light and hope for guidance. These are all things that will help us. The story of Balaam shows us that when we listen to God, God will guide our paths. The other part of this story that I'd never connected with before this week, but it really resonated with me with this week, is those whom God has blessed, God will bless. And we cannot hijack God's word or God's blessing for our own agenda. That God is a God who is faithful to God's promise. I thought of that this week as I heard the screams of children separated from parents. I heard stories of children ripped away from the breast of a breastfeeding mother. Now, I understand there are a lot of complexities to immigration issues. I'm not trying to simplify anything. But Jesus And Mary and Joseph fled violence in Bethlehem to Egypt. I know a God who tells us, suffer the little children to come unto me. I know what it says in Romans 13. Romans 13 says, all of the law can be combined into one passage. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love does no harm to one's neighbor. The law of the Lord is love. In the midst of complexities, that is clear, and no one can hijack that and take hold of that. And that reminds me that God is always, always, always on the side of the oppressed and the downtrodden. When you are in prison, when someone is in prison, it is as though you were in prison with them. When someone is being tortured, it is as though you were being tortured with them. When I was in prison, you visited me. Whatever you did to the least of these, you do unto me. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the word of God. That is the word of the Lord, and God's blessings are always, always with those who are meek, who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. People revile you and hate you and utter all sorts of falsehoods against you. Rejoice and be glad, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Here on earth, we may not see those blessings, but it is our responsibility as children of God to stand with Balaam and to stand with Jesus and bless those whom God has called blessed, to stand with them and to recognize that God is not neutral when it comes to those who are oppressed. It gave me hope, it gave me strength, and it gave me courage as I recalled Balaam, whose mission would not be thwarted because he was hearing the voice of God. Not trying to simplify anything. It's complex. But some things are simple. Some things are simple. Being kind, being compassionate, being just. In our path through life, let us always hear the voices of others. Let us always see where God is guiding us. Let us always hear the word of the Lord. And when we do that, no matter what, we know that God will guide us. And we hold fast to the knowledge that those to whom God has blessed, we cannot take away that blessing. We can merely work to be agents of God, to bring the kingdom of God here on earth as his servants. Amen.